Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This Wednesday marks the start of the open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. This fifth enrollment season is the first one under President Trump, and it's marked by what critics call his determined efforts to undermine the ACA. Marianne Udall Phillips from the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation is here to walk us through what to expect. Marianne, President Trump insists the ACA is imploding. Let Obamacare die is an oft-repeated talking point of his. And even as Congress has failed to repeal and replace, many critics believe the president is doing his best to undermine the ACA. So what do you think? Is the health care law in Michigan broken?
Well, you know, we know that the ACA could use some help in some of the decisions that the administration has just made about not paying these what's called these cost-sharing subsidies, has made premiums go up, has made it more expensive for many people, but not all. But it is not broken in Michigan. Michigan continues to have many choices of health plans. In fact, we have 8 health issuers in the state, and every county has a choice of at least 2 health issuers. So we've only lost 1 plan in Michigan, 1 health insurer, that's Health Alliance Plan, but it continues to be robust. We're in the top 10 states in terms of the number of plans offered, and in every county there will be choices.
So, but there are some new hurdles to overcome and how things are going to be different this year. So let's start with the shorter enrollment period starting November 1st and ending December 15th. Right. Now, prior year's enrollment ran into March, didn't it?
Yes, that's right, right. And so this is much shorter. And as you said earlier, there are days when the system will be down and there aren't navigators to help. So it's much more complicated for people to get into the system.
So how do you think that this might affect enrollment?
Well, many people think it's going to lower enrollment. There are estimates out there that it'll lower enrollment by 10% or more. People are really concerned about the complexity and, frankly, all of the press and all of the debates about the Affordable Care Act this summer.
And the attempts to repeal and replace.
Right, has left some people with the feeling that it has been repealed and that they're not enforcing the mandate and that there aren't going to be choices of health plans. And so there are people that are very confused, and all of that is likely to depress enrollment.
When we talk about the fact that the White House has slashed funding for navigators to help guide people through enrollment, how critical are those navigators in your view?
You know, the navigators have been enormously helpful to people. The Affordable Care Act, if you buy your coverage as an individual on the health insurance exchange, it's enormously complex. You do have a lot of choices, which is good, but it makes it hard to figure out what you're really eligible for, what your tax credits are, what the plan differences are, and those navigators have been crucial in helping people really sort through. They're not just about getting information out to say you should enroll. They're also really about helping counsel people on how to enroll.
Now, with the slashed funding, does that mean no navigators or fewer navigators?
It means fewer.
So people are going to have to be patient.
Yes. And in Michigan, the funding was slashed quite a lot for those navigators, more than in many other states. So many fewer navigators. Now, we do know that hospitals are going to step up, that health plans are stepping up, that there are a lot of voluntary efforts going on. And in Washtenaw County, for example, we're training students at the University of Michigan School of Public Health to go out on a voluntary basis to help people enroll. So there are a lot of communities that are trying to help, but it won't be quite the same.
Let's talk about this sticker shock. The average price for an individual plan in Michigan has jumped nearly 27%. Why is this?
Well, because these cost-sharing subsidies were not paid, because the president said that they will not pay them, and Congress has not overruled that.
And what are those exactly? Help us understand. This is complicated stuff for a lot of us. What are these subsidies?
Yeah, so if someone is below 250% of poverty, that's about for an individual $30,000 a year that they earn. If they're below that and they're eligible for health insurance coverage, the law requires that the copays and deductibles they pay be lower than they would be otherwise because their income is so low. Mm-hmm. And it requires the health plans to lower those copays and deductibles. The law intended the federal government to pay for that reduction in the copays and the deductibles. And there was a debate about whether or not those funds were actually appropriated correctly under the Obama administration. So there's been a lawsuit debating whether those funds were ever appropriated by Congress. And the health plans are required to lower those copays and deductibles regardless of whether the federal government pays the share or not.
So they have to make it up somehow?
They have to make it up somehow. And so what they did in Michigan at the direction of the Michigan Insurance Commissioner was to raise the premiums in the silver plans that they offer. And they raise them different rates, so an average between 8 and 20 and up to 38%. We had one health plan raise their rates 38% to make up for those reductions. And that cost then gets spread over everybody else who buys their coverage in the insurance exchange.
Now, which of the plans on the exchange might see the biggest hike? And the reason I'm asking this is, as I've read the flood of stories that came after the president announced that those federal payments were going to be canceled, is that the silver plans were particularly going to be hit hard.
The insurance companies put those increases entirely into those second lower cost silver plans, which is how the subsidies are calculated. It's very complicated. But all those are the plans that are hit the highest. And so we have this funny experience right now where there are some communities where a gold plan that has lower copays and deductibles may actually be cheaper for somebody than a silver plan, because those silver plans are the ones that went way up.
So some people might wind up being able to get a more generous plan
yes.
for less money.
Yes, they may be able to get a more generous plan. And that's particularly people who are in this income range between 250% and 400% of poverty. So people who earn between $32,000 and $48,000 a year might find a plan that's cheaper in that gold range. And it's going to be more complicated. And that's another point about the navigators, because they don't have people to guide them through this. You would think that those, you know, bronze plans or silver plans are going to be the cheapest for them. But in some cases, it'll actually be the gold plan.
Now, what are the ACA enrollees who make too much to qualify for any of the tax credits to help offset the cost? Are they going to bear the brunt of this?
They are. We have about 61,000 people in Michigan in 2017 who got coverage on the exchange and who were not eligible for tax credits. 81% of people in Michigan who got coverage on the exchange were eligible for tax credits, but those 61,000 people are the ones who are going to be hurt the most by this lack of payment for the cost-sharing.
How badly?
Subsidies.
On
average, that premium increase goes up 27%. They'll have to bear that full increase, but it does vary by community, by age. So people really have to look at the health plans. They still should shop in the marketplace. Again, there are a lot of choices of health plans. Mm-hmm. Some of them went up quite a bit more than that 27%, but some went up less. So they really need to shop around.
The Washington Post, in one of its stories on this, quoted a Georgetown law professor, and I'll read you his quote. "For those who thought it was a story when several years ago there were startup difficulties with the website, that's nothing compared to what we're going to see. How can there not be chaos?" That's what this professor says. What do you think?
I think there is more chaos. Well, there's no question there's more chaos already. I mean, people are confused about, they don't know that the open enrollment period has been shortened. They don't really know when it's kicking off, because the other thing that was eliminated was advertising for the Affordable Care Act, for the enrollment. That was slashed. And frankly, right now, the administration is running negative ads. They're really bashing this law. And so that leads to chaos by itself. It's something that the health plans are trying to overcome. It's in the interest of the health plans to get a lot of people to enroll.
Especially healthy people and younger people.
And one of the challenges for younger people is that they tend to wait till the last minute to enroll. And so that's really going to be a push.
Do you think, Marianne, that we might see more people this year say, you know what, to heck with it, I'm going to pay the penalty of tax time?
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. I think that we're going to have people who are going to, first of all, they're going to see that 27% increase. And if they don't get tax credits, they're definitely going to be saying, you know, maybe I shouldn't be getting coverage. The people who will get the coverage, and this is the issue, are people who are sick or have family members who are sick or who know that they're going to need a major procedure. And that's, again, that drives the cost up for everybody. Because if you only have sick people covered, then you're basically paying the cost of that medical care. You're not really doing what insurance is designed to do, which is share the risk and pool the cost.
Now, there are people who completely support President Trump's goal of ending Obamacare. They voted for him because they want the ACA gone. They believe it's been a disaster. What do you say to people who had their health care choices ruined or made, you know, prohibitively expensive under the ACA, and they can't wait to see it gone?
Well, I wish people would look at the bipartisan effort that's come out of the Senate. So Senators Murray and Alexander have worked on a bipartisan effort that would help lower the cost. I think it could bring the cost down by 20% because it would pay for those cost-sharing reductions. It would allow flexibility in states. It would allow people to buy bronze plans who are older than 30. Now they're limited to people who are 30 or younger. So that is the way we should be changing and reforming the Affordable Care Act. It should be through a bipartisan effort. There are enough votes in the Senate to get that bill passed, but it won't be put up because President Trump has said he's not in support of it. And so I think we need to be moving towards a bipartisan approach to reforming health care, not one party or the other party.
Marianne Udall-Phillips from the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be here, Cindy. Thank you.